Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev and Daf Nun. We are 9 lines from the top. Says the Gemara Gufa, we just learned the connection with the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel in a case where a person's on the road. It's about to get dark, Shabbos is coming. So he makes the following announcement. He's familiar with a tree out in the distance. So he says, my Mokum Shvisa, my Shabbos residence, should be implemented underneath that tree. Now, he didn't specify where exactly underneath that wide tree he'd like to activate his Mokum Shvisa. Shmuel says, even so, it works. We just don't know where exactly his Shvisa is going to be, so he must take all factors into consideration, as we learned yesterday. Rav says, he didn't specify where, it doesn't work. He has no Shvisa at all underneath that tree. The Gemara gave us two reasons for Rav Shita. Number one, because an unspecified Machm Shvisa is worthless. It's ineffective. You have to know where you're living. The second shot was, in the name of Rabbah, that we apply the formula of Kol She'enoi Bezeh Chazeh Afilu Bevachzachas Nami Enoi. Meaning, when something can be done incrementally, consecutively, like in this case, a person only has one Shvisa of four Amos. He couldn't say, well, I'd like to have four Amos on this side of the tree, and then add another Shvisa on the other side for another four Amos. He can't do that. It's Eino Bezeh Chazeh. He only has one opportunity, one Shvisa, one four Amos. So since it can't be done consecutively, Bezeh Chazeh, likewise, even if he should choose to say, well, I'd like the whole entire area to be activated as my Makam Shvisa, to supply me with four Amos, but he's activating the whole entire area, which is larger than four Amos, he can't do that. So, just as you can't do it incrementally, you can't do it simultaneously. Afilu bevas achas enoi. Says the Magufa, so we just learned, the formula presented by Rabbah, Amar Rabbah, kol davar she'enu bezeh chazeh, anything that can't be done one after the other, incrementally, consecutively, afilu bevas achas enoi. Likewise, it can't be done even if he chooses to do it all at once. Says the Gemara, we have three challenges from different places which seem to put this formula into question. Eisvei Abayi L'Rabba, we have a b'raisa as follows. Harmar beba ma'asris, if one should choose to add to his ma'asrishin, it's meant to be 10% of the total, he's going to separate 20%. So what happens? Peroisav misukonan, the leftover fruit is okay, it's edible because the mice has been separated. So he has 100 kernels of wheat. He separates 20 instead of 10. So the 80 is fine. He can eat them. Umas roisav mekukolon. However, the masa that he separated, the 20%, is mekukol. It's ruined. There's confusion there. Why? Because only a portion of it is really masa. You cannot choose to add to the masa which is meant to be 10%. It's not like Truma where you have a choice of how much you'd like to separate. Maser is specific to 10%. Maser means it's a tenth, Eser. So the Maser that he separated here contains two elements. It has legitimate Maser. A part of it is the 10% on the remaining kernels, the remaining 80. But anything above that is really Tevel. Because he wanted it to be Maser and it can't. It can't take effect. It can't be activated as Maser. Now, he didn't separate any Maser on that extra portion above that 10%. He didn't address it. So it remains Tevel. So he has these 20 kernels, which are partly Maser and partly Tevel. So that's what the Braisa means. Masresu mikul kol. It's ruined. There's confusion here. It's a mixture of Tevel and Maser. But in any event, we see that the legitimate portion of Maser was activated, meaning within this 20%, part of it, the part which is meant to be Maser on the rest of the 80, the 10% on that, is Maserishin. How does that work? According to Rabbah's formula, if something can't work consecutively, if you can't say, well, 10% and then add another 10%, that certainly doesn't work. So how would it work? Just because he did it all at once. He took a large portion and said, this entire thing should be Maser. How does it get activated as maser? Even a portion of it shouldn't work. None of it should work. Says Gemara, Amai, why is there any maser whatsoever here? Lema, why shouldn't we apply the rule of kol she'ene b'zeh chaseh? Something which can't be done one after the other. You can't take off 10% and then add another 10%. If that's the case, afilu b'vasachas einai. It shouldn't work even if it's done all at once. Let's see Rashi, 14 lines from the top. It says Rashi, harmar b'memasrus. He adds above and beyond the requirement of maser. So instead of 1 of 10, he does echad mechamesh, 1 of 5, which is 20%. Oy meches, 1 of 8. So what happens? Peroysev shetzilek tzalachar, the leftover kernels, chulim sekonim, they're okay, they're edible. Because somewhere within this 20%, you have maser separated on behalf of the rest there. Aval ha-masrus, shenoysen levi mekukolim. However, the maser you're giving to the levi, meaning this 20%, is totally ruined. Sherei tevel mu'urben, because inside here you have a mixture of maser and tevel. Shekei shenosan kava shmini, leichal shem ha-maser, el ha-alaroi le-maser. Because when you took out 1 of 8, which is too much, the name maser, the status, the maser status, only gets applied to a portion of it, which is the 10% of the remainder. But the rest, anything above that 10% portion, vashar tevelu, it remains tevel, it remains in place. It doesn't change status. The maser behedya marachmana, shir echad maser, Torah specifically tells us, it's meant to be maser, which means 1 of 10. You can't choose to add to your maser. But like dumb with truma, it's different than truma, shouldn't tell us vayin yofa, vayin roa, vayinis. You can separate with a generous eye, stingy, average. You can do what you want. The truma l'ksiv bashir. Torah doesn't stipulate a specific amount. Maser has a share of 1 of 10. But in any case, the 10% does work. The portion which is meant to be 10% on the rest is considered to be maser. Amai, why? Pirayim mizakon. Why is the remainder edible? Why do we say that the maser has taken effect? If you can't do it step by step, then it can't be done simultaneously. Suppose he separated 10%. Then he adds some more, and he considered it maser. He added more maser on the remainder. So, if he already took 10, then he adds another 10% to be maser on the leftover portion, which is already now edible, it doesn't work. So, since it can be done incrementally, hashtanami, here as well, ki afresh haitifaina, ima maser. When he added, he did it all at once, but he added to the 10%, loy leichel shem maser afilo ala roi le maser. The status of maser should not be applied to anything. Just as you said by Shvisa. Why doesn't it work? We don't say that he acquires 4 Amis of Shvisa amongst that large area, amongst the 8 Amis there. If he hadn't said specifically, I want 4, like the Gemara earlier told us, if he specifically says, I only want 4 out of 8, all agree that it works. But otherwise, if he just says, look, my Shvisa is going to be implemented on that huge area, we don't say, well, let him at least get 4, because he's applying Shvisa to a huge area. You can't, just as you can't say, I want 4 and another 4, you can't apply your Shvisa to an area of 8, even if you're doing it all at once. So what's the difference between our sugya of Shvisa, that it doesn't work, in contrast with Maser, that it gets activated, even in such a case? Let's go back to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, you know what the answer is? Shani Maser. Maser is different. Isse lechatzoin. Because if you'd like, he can go ahead and make each kernel half Maser. Di Omar Tigdish Palga, Palga de Chitza. Should he say, well, each kernel, I'd like only half of it. Half of that wheat kernel should become Maser region. Would it work? Sure, Kacha. It's Kaddish, meaning it works. Likewise here, says the Gemara, true, he can't do more than 10%, but when he takes 20%. He says, I'd like this to be maser. We accept that statement and we implement it as though he would have said, look, I'd like this 20% to be half. Each kernel should be half maser and half chulin. So that's how we get some maser here. You're right. You can't just spread the maser throughout the 20%. You can take 10% and distribute that 10% throughout the 20%, making each one, each kernel, half maser and half not. So again, since he can go ahead and do half maser, each kernel half maser, half not, so theoretically, the maser can be applied to the entire volume, entire 20%. Should he say that only half of each kernel should be maser? So that's how we apply it. We accept his statement. We apply it throughout the 20%. We're using this formula, half on, half off. Each kernel is half maser and half not. So we have half tevel and half maser. So that's why the Braisa says, well, the leftover, the 80 day left behind, is certainly okay, because 10% is certainly legitimate maser shape, maser rishon. So within this 20%, whatever is meant to be 10% on the remainder is certainly activated. The rest of it remains tevel. Meaning each kernel has a portion of it which is maser rishon on the remainder, and a portion of it which remains unattended to remains tevel. This is in contrast with Shvisa. We can't say, well, take a look at this entire area underneath the tree. I'd like my four amos to be distributed throughout the area there. I want every ama to be half Shvisa, half not. You can't do that. The four amos of your Shvisa needs to be together. One unit of four amos. So this concept doesn't apply there, and therefore the Shvisa doesn't work. Continues the Gemara, Vari Masa Behima, the less lechatzoyim. We have another kasha, because we know that Masa Behima, which is the tenth of his group of animals, every 10 animals are going to be Masa Behima, Karban, Beis HaMikdash. So Masa Behima cannot be implemented halfway. Less lechatzoyim. It's an animal. Either it's Kaddish or not. You can't say, well, half the animal will be a Karban. So the concept that applies to the wheat won't apply here. Okay? In addition, the Bach adds, V'lesse b'zeh hazeh. Certainly, it doesn't work incrementally. You can't do it one and then another one. The tenth one is Masa Behema, no more. So once you've designated the tenth one as Masa Behema, you can't add another one. Having said that, we find, V'amar Rava, Yotzu Shnayim Ba'asiri. Despite the fact that you can't do it, however, if two animals come out at once, he's counting his animals coming out of the pen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, when he gets to 10, not one came out, rather two popped out at once, simultaneously. Yotzu shnayim basir, v'kor nasir. And he numbered them pen, on both of them. So what happens? Asir v'chad asor, muravin zeh b'zeh. Both of them become kaddish. Going to see soon the Gemara, there's a concept of a multiple Kedusha when it comes to Masa Behema. One will be the true Masa Behema, true carbon. The next one will have a limited form of Kedusha, like a Kedusha of a Shlomim. Learn from a Pasuk. So, Rabbi tells us when two come out at once, there's going to be Kedusha here. Masa Behema is activated, is applied here. Not only that, both of them will have some form of Kedusha. One of them will be the true Masa Behema. The other one will be Kaddish B'Kedusha Shlomim. There's some differences between the Hakrava of a Masa Behema, Krava of a Shlomim. But in any case, we see that the Kedusha of Masa Behema does get applied even when we have two coming out at once. Despite the fact that should he choose to do it, the Bezeh HaZeh, one after the other, it wouldn't work. Once he has the 10th as Masa Behema, he can't add an 11th. So despite that fact, but if they come out together, simultaneously, they become Kaddish. Both of them are Kaddish. There's a multiple Kedusha here. And the Masa Behema is activated. How does that work? Don't we know that if something can't be done, B'zeh HaZeh, You can't do Masa Behema and another Masa Behema. B'vasachas also Einoi. It doesn't work, even if it's done all at once. So we have a kasha on Rabba's formula. Says the Gemara, here's different. Shani Masa Behema. The Isse B'zachaze B'tois. We find a halacha that there is a concept of one after the other. If it does it inadvertently, as we're going to see in the Mishnah, there is a possibility of a multiple Kedusha, even when it's not done simultaneously, even when he does it one after the other. They both will have Kedusha. If that's the case, then that justifies Rava's halacha. Therefore, in the case when they both came out together, the same type of Kedusha will be activated. One will be the Masa Behema, one will be the Shlom. We just don't know which one. But in any case, the Kedusha will be applied. What halacha are we speaking about? The Snan. Kara L'Tshia Siri. So he's counting his animals coming out of the doorway there. When he gets to number 9, he inadvertently labels it 10. V'la Siri Tshi. The next one, which is the legitimate 10th one, he calls it number 9. V'la Chadasa Siri. And when he got to the 11th, he mistakenly thought this was the 10th. So he called it number 10. So he made a triple mistake here. The 9th one, he thought it was the 10th. The 10th one, he called the 9th. The 11th, he called the 10th. Shlosh tam kedushin. All three have kedusha. So one of them, the true 10th one, will be the Maser Behema. The other one will have different types of kedusha, limited forms of kedusha, like a shlomim. And we learn this from a pasuk. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, we see that the concept of kedusha b'zeh hazeh, because here it wasn't simultaneous, it was consecutively, it was one, and then another one, then another one, will be applied. So even though Masa Behema is really only one, it's meant to be the 10th, the Torah tells us that the Kedusha of Masa Behema can stretch, can extend to the 9th, can extend to the 11th, in certain circumstances. In the case of a Torah, such as we described. So since we find the concept of multiple Kedusha by Masa Behema, that explains Rabbi's halach. There is b'zeh hazeh, therefore there is b'vasachas as well. If two come out at the 10th point of number 10, two come out, they both will have a kedusha similar to this halacha that we just mentioned in the Mishnah. One will be the Masa Behema, one will be the Shlomim. So the Shlomim sort of gets a kedusha, the kedusha extends over from the Masa Behema onto the next one as well, and it becomes Kaddish v'kedusha Shlomim. So this is not a contradiction to Rabbi's formula, because here we have b'zeh hazeh, and therefore we have b'vasachas as well. Continues more with a third raya, akasha to Rabbi's formula. Vari toida. What about the carbon toida that requires 40 chalais? The lesser b'tois, over there the concept of tois doesn't exist. If a person mistakenly, inadvertently made a kedusha, we know that hegdash b'tois doesn't work. So that's out. You don't have the tos like you have Masa Behema. V'lesa b'zeh hazeh. And you don't have b'zeh hazeh either. Meaning, if he brings 40 chalis, makes them kaddish, designates it for his carbon toida, and decides to bring another 40 chalis, that won't work. So, based on this introduction, you would think that it won't work v'asachas either. But we learned otherwise. V'itmar. Toida shenishchata al shmoinim chalis. He takes his carbon toida and shechts it, having in mind to be mekadesh, the shechita is mekadesh alechem, to sanctify 80 chalis, no less than 80. Rav Machlek, Chizki Amar, Kachu, Allah mem mitoch shmoinim. 40 out of that 80 will become kadesh and attribute themselves to this carbon. So he gets 40. So even though he's bringing 80, it's a too large of a number of chalis that are required here. It's like making the shvisa underneath that large tree. Nevertheless, we say that 40 become kaddish. It works. This will be the kasha. That's Chizki's opinion. We won't have 40 that are going to be kaddish on account of the carbon. Nothing happens. Why? Because too many chalis here. And it's unsuitable for his toida. So, but Chizki holds it works. And Chizki was Rabbi Yechon's Rabbi. We assume the halacha was meant to follow Chizki. So if according to Chizkiah, the fact that he did it all at once legitimizes it, so this is a kasha rabba. Says Gemara Hitmar Lo, but haven't we learned what is the pshat in this machlekes? Amar Rab Zeira, how come Maidim all will agree? Even Rabbi Yechon would agree. Hechad Amar Lekasha Arba'im Teich Shmeinim. He shechting his carbon. He says, look, I only want 40 really out of these 80. All agree the kachi that is going to work. Why? Because he's specifically saying I don't want the kedusha to be implemented in all 80. I want to have 40, which I'm going to choose later. Only 40 out of the 80 should become kaddish. All agree. There's no problem here because he's not enlarging his carbon. He's limiting it to 40. So if Rabbi Yechon would agree, that's fine. What about the next case? He checks his carbon. He says, Lo yikachu arbaim ela im kein kachish mainim. I won't allow 40 to become kaddish unless all 80 become kaddish. All agree it doesn't work. Kuli alma le pligi le kachu. All agree there's no kedusha. Why? Based on Rabbah's concept. Just as you can't do it incrementally, you can't do 40 and then add another 40. Right? Once you make 40 kaddish, you can't say, okay, I want another 40. Likewise, you can't implement that kedusha on the entire 80, even all at once. Why? Kol she'ene b'zechazeh v'sacha se'ene. So all agree to that. So when then is there machlekes? In the following case. Ki pligi b'stama. The disagreement between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan is where he didn't specify. He just took the 80, brought it over to the carbon, shechted the carbon. Question is, how do we relate to this? What's in his mind? Mar Savar, Chizkiah says, 40 should be okay. Why? Because he never really intended on enlarging his carbon to 80. He simply wanted to bring some extra as a backup for the 40. Marsa v'lachrayis k'machaven. He just wanted to guarantee the safety of his 40, to make sure he has 40. Kasher chalis. V'altanaya sinu. He bought them conditionally. They're there just to serve as a backup, to secure his 40 chalis. He never really wanted more than 40 to become kaddish. Therefore, it works. That's fine. He's only been kaddish 40. Omar Sava, which Rabbi Yechon holds, the carbon god will come mechavan. His intention is to bring a large size carbon. He can't do that. He can't bring more than 40, and therefore it doesn't work. So the kash is answered. All agree to Rabbi's formula. You can't do it b'zeachazeh. You can't do it v'asachas. Why does Chizkiah maintain that when somebody comes along with 80 chalis, 40 become kaddish? Because that's all he had in mind to be mekaddish. He didn't have a mind to apply kedusha to more than 40. He brought the extra ones just to safeguard the safety of his 40, just in case they become tamei, become pasul. Therefore, it's just a standard carbon of 40 chalis, and therefore it works. So in summary, we have three cases where we seem to have found something to work in a larger amount than is mandated because it was done simultaneously. And this was a kasha. This put Rabbah's formula in question. Number one was the Marbe B'Masris. He separated 20% of Masrishin instead of 10. The Braisa says, it works to the extent that the leftover food becomes mutter. The Masr has been activated, but within this large amount of Masr, he has confusion. He has a mixture of Masr and Tevel. The question was, why does the Masr become activated to begin with? When he did it on a larger amount than necessary. The answer is because we apply his statement partially. We say, since you can go ahead and take one kernel and say half is masi, half is not, so this 20% that he separated is implemented in this manner. We say, well, your 10% is the only thing that works, but it's been distributed throughout this 20%. We had a kasha from the halacha b'masir behema. Rabbi tells us if two behemoths come out at once, ba'asiri, as number 10, both are kaddish. How could both be kaddish? You can't make double maser. Terah says you can. We have a case where if a person mixes things up, he gets a multiple kedusha. So the concept of b'zeh chazeh will apply b'maser behema, therefore it works b'asachas. Concluded with the case of the toida that was nishchat with 80 chalis. Chizkiah says 40 become kaddish. Why? If you can't make kedusha on 80, on 40 and then 40, how can you make Kedusha on the entire 80 Teretzis? He's not trying to make Kedusha on more than 40. The rest is merely Lachrayis, Al Tanai. It's merely coming to back up, to secure the 40 Chalis. Continues the Gemara. So let's get back to the Machlekes. In the case where, from a distance, he announces, I'd like my Shvisa to be implemented underneath that large-sized tree. Shmuel says it works. Rav says it doesn't. We had one of the reasons, because he didn't specify, he didn't define where he'd like to have his Makom Shvisa. He didn't know where you're living. If it's unspecified, undefined, Rav holds it doesn't work. The Gemara would tell us there's a case where Rav would agree to Shmuel that it works. And conversely, there's a case where Shmuel would agree to Rav that it doesn't work. That's what Amar Abaye, Lo Yishanu. Rav's concern. Rav says, well, you didn't specify, it doesn't work. That's only Ela B'ilon. Shatachta B'yubez Amma. We have a tree which is, for instance, 12 Amas wide. And we don't know where underneath that tree his Makan Shvisa is. Which four Amas? The right ones, the middle ones, the left ones? So it's unspecified, it doesn't work. Ava B'ilon Shein Tachta B'yubez Amma. But if the tree doesn't have 12 Amas, it's only, for instance, 11 Amos wide. In this case, it would work even according to Rav. Hare mitzas beis hanikar. Part of his home is recognizable, is defined. What does this mean? Abaye is saying like this. We assume that underneath that tree, it's the middle four Amos that are designated to be his bayis, his place of residence. Perhaps it's near the trunk of the tree. It's the middle ones that are meant to be his house, his Makom Shvisa. So if the entire width of that tree is only 11, so although we don't know which four are meant to be his Makom Shvisa, the right, the middle, the left, but one thing is for certain, that wherever his four Amis are, they include at least partially something of the middle four Amis, right? They all overlap. So wherever the four Amis are, whether it's the middle, and certainly it's the middle, if it's the right or the left, they overlap somewhat, those middle four Amis. So since we know with certainty that he was Koina, he acquired at least partially, at least a portion of those middle four Amis, which are meant to be his Makom Shvisa, designated for him, since we know that with certainty, then that addresses our concern. That Makom Shvisa is defined. You know with certainty that at least part of those four Amis were acquired by him. Therefore, even according to Rav, this type of Shvisa will be activated. Rav says he didn't define. Well, in this case, he did define. We know positively that at least part of that middle four Amis has been used for the Makom Shvisa. That's enough to consider it a specified and defined Makom Shvisa. Maskefla Rav Huna Bei Darvishu. Why are you focusing on the middle four? Who says those Amis have been designated as his Makom Shvisa? Who says that the middle four Amis have been designated as his Makom Shvisa, as the ones that are meant to be his home? Perhaps it's the four on the right side, or the four on the other side, are meant to be designated for him. So he's challenging Abaye's reasoning here. Abaye is saying, look, the middle four are the ones designated for him, and we know it's certainly that at least part of those middle four he had acquired. So you know that he acquired part of that bias. So it's a defined, it's a specified Makom Shvisa. Rav Huna says, who says those middle four are any better than everything else? Bottom line is, we don't know where his four Amis are, right, middle, or left. That's considered to be undefined, unspecified Makom Shvisa. Ela Amar Rav Huna Bei Yeshua. When we speak about Rav agreeing to Shmuel, it's going to be in the following case. Lo Yishanu, Rav's concern only applies, Ela Be'ilon Shetachtav Ches Amis. We have a tree which is 8 Amis wide. So you don't know if it's 4 Amis on the right or on the left. You have a problem. It's undefined. Avo b'ilan shatachtav zayin Amis. but if the tree is merely 7 amos wide? Hare miktas beisoy nikar. In this case, you have addressed the problem. Why? Because either or, whether it's on the right or on the left, you know one thing with certainty. The middle amah has been acquired as is makom shvisa. So since you know with certainty that at least you know you can pinpoint part of the makom shvisa, a portion of his dalad amah has been very much defined and specified, that's called siyam asri. He has designated and specified his location. So although we don't know about the rest of the four amos, we don't know whether it's extending to the right or to the left, but we know for sure that it begins right in the middle. So since you've specified at least a portion of those dalad amos, that's called miktas beis hanikar. A portion of his home, a portion of his residence has been defined and pinpointed that is sufficient to activate the makom shvisa. Let's see Rashi inside, which is about 22 lines from the top. Says Rashi, Ches Amos. The concern is only when it's 8 Amos. In that case, it's undefined. You don't know where to turn. You can say, well, the 4 Amos on the right side or on the other side. And there's no designation here. So that creates a concern. Aval dal zayin Amos. But the entire area is merely 7 Amos wide. In this case, you're okay. Al karchach miktas beis hanikar beis amem tzois. Certainly, a portion of his dalad amos, of his makom shvisa, has been defined and discerned. The efsha shaloi biraloi. It can't be. It's impossible to go without it. It can't be that you haven't chosen that middle amma, because whether it's the right 4 amos or the left 4 amos, you've included that middle amma in his makom shvisa. So it says Rashi, okay, if you chose the middle 4, if those 4 turns out to be a makom shvisa, harehi mehen, so that middle amma certainly included. If it's from this side or that side, harehi mehen, then the middle amma is also included. So whichever way you turn, any option that you choose, right, middle, or left, you have included at least that middle amma in your makom shvisa. So it's been defined. It's been specified. Hilkach kana sham bayis. Therefore we say, he was kaina bayis there. His makom shvisa has been activated. Umiyu ba'limdet b'chulu. Rashi just means to add that at the end of the day, we don't really know which side to turn. Which 4 amas was it, the right or the left? So when it comes to establishing the tchum territory, we must take into account all possibilities. Perhaps the 4 amas was to the right, so you have to calculate the 2,000 amas, taking that into consideration, or if it's on the left side, you have to count that way, as we discussed yesterday. But the point here is that this will address Rav's concern. It's undefined, unspecified. In this case, if at least part of that dalad amos has been clearly pointed to, clearly defined, clearly discovered, that addresses the concern, that becomes a defined makom shvisa. Regarding the rest of the 4 amos, okay, we're unsure which way to go. And we're going to have to address that when we go ahead and we calculate the territory. So we have one case where Rav agrees to Shmuel, in the case where at least miktas beis hanikar, part of the home, has been specified. Continues the Gemara, the first white line. Tanika vasei the Rav. Tanika vasei the Shmuel. We have a brisa in support of Rav, who holds that when his shvisa has been unspecified, then he has nothing. Not only didn't he acquire shvisa over there, but he doesn't have shvisa in his present location either. As Rashi explained for us in the beginning of the sugya, he never wanted to be kanya shvisa here. He wanted to be kanya shvisa there. So if that doesn't work, then he has nothing. He has to remain within his 4 amos. We might have a right from a brisa to Rav. Tani kavedus kavesedu Shmuel. Likewise, a right from a brisa to Shmuel that when there is an uncertain shvisa, we don't know where, something does take effect. Tani kavesedu Rav. We have a raya to Rav on the brisa. Mishabah baderech, person on the road, b'chash chaloi, it's getting dark. V'yumak ilun agoder, and he knows about a landmark, a tree, a fence. V'omar shvisasi tachtav. He announces, my shvisa should be underneath that tree, at the base of that wall. But didn't specify where. Lo yamar klum. It's ineffective. Avalim omar shvisasi makam ploini. However, if he pinpoints exactly where shvisa should be, which four amas, that works. Mahalech hashemagil is a makam. He can walk up until that place, if it's within 2,000. He gilei samakim. If he arrives there, malach es kulei. He can walk throughout the entire area. So if it's an enclosed partitioned area, it's regarded like dal damis, since that's his makam shvisa. So even if it's a place large in size, it's considered merely like four amis. It doesn't get deducted from 2,000. Malach es kulei. He can walk through the entire area, v'chutzalei palam amo, and beyond that 2,000. But medvam amur, what is it said? Makam amasuyim. When his makam shvisa is a defined, an enclosed area. Kigoyin sheshavas betail. For instance, he established a shvisa on a mound, shugvo yutfachim, which is 10 tfachim high. The fact that it's elevated 10 tfachim creates a machitza. So that's considered to be an enclosed area. And how large in size is that area? V'hu midalad amos, v'beis asayim. The surface area is anyway from dalad amos, because if it's less than dalad amos, then certainly you can walk throughout the entire area. There's no chiddush there. So if it's anyway from four amos till tusa, how do we get to tusa? Because even though it's an enclosed area, but it's not been partitioned l'shem dira. It's not a residential enclosure. And we know that if it's an unresidential enclosure, the maximum size allowance is an area of tusa, where you can plant tusa, which is 100 amos by 50, which is equivalent to the shear of the Chatzar Mishkan, which has been established by the Chachamim as the appropriate size for an area which has not been enclosed for residential purposes. It's still considered small enough to be considered a place designated for personal use. It's not like an open, unenclosed area, like a carmelis. In any case, this is the formula that we're working here. If it's between four amos and two saw, that entire enclosure is considered like a makam shvisa and regarded like one single unit, like four amos. And he begins calculating his tchum of 2,000 from outside that area. So this is regarding an elevated surface, a tail. V'chein bika. Likewise, if he established his shvisa in a valley, shia mukayud, which is 10 tefachim deep, surrounded by mechitzes. The same thing will apply, v'hi medalad amos, v'beis asayim, which has a surface space anyway from 4 amos till 2 sa. We regard it as one single unit, and we treat it like 4 amos. Avo b'makam she'im mesuyim. But if this space, this location, is not mesuyim, it's not partitioned, it's not surrounded by mechitzes, ein lo yeladalad amos, then he only has 4 amos. So that location becomes his makam shvisa, those four amis, and he begins calculating from there, 2,000 amis beyond. Hayushnayim, let's say we have two people walking along, echad maker. One of them is familiar with a tree out in the distance. He knows about that landmark that exists. Ve'echad sheni maker, the other fellow is not familiar. So he can't announce, oh, my shvisa underneath a tree which he's not familiar with. So what happens? Zeh sheni maker. The one that's unfamiliar, Moisa Shvisa Lamakar. He delegates his Shvisa to his friend, who's aware and familiar with that landmark. Rashi later says that he tells the other fellow, Shvisa Si'imach. I'm becoming subordinate to you. My Shvisa is going to be attached to your Shvisa. So by doing so, he enables his friend to make Shvisa on behalf of him as well. Makir, the one who is familiar, Oimer Shvisasi, or there's a Gersa Shvisa, say nu, our Shvisa, should be B'makah in Pliny, in that specific location. Continues the Braisa, and this is what pertains to us. Medva Mamurim, when is it said? Kishasim Dald Amish Shekava, when he has designated those four Amish that he has established for his Makam Shvisa. Avaloisim Dald Amish Shekava, but if he hadn't designated the four amis, which he'd like to establish, to activate as makam shvisa, lo yozes v'mkoymoy. He can't budge from where he's standing. He only has four amis. And this is right to Rav. when a person attempts to activate a Shvisa in a undefined manner, nothing works. He doesn't get there, and he doesn't have here. Lema Tavit Yufta Shmuel? This is going to be a refutation on Shmuel, who maintains that even an unknown Shvisa will be activated. Amalach Shmuel! Shmuel will respond, this is a unique case. Even in this case, even I would agree it doesn't work. Hachim Ma'eskinen, you know what we're speaking about? See, Shmuel was speaking where he's on the road and he has a certain tree in mind. He wants to activate a Shvisa underneath that tree, somewhere underneath that tree. We don't know where, to the right, to the left, on the near side of the tree, the far side of the tree. We don't know. However, in any case, that entire tree was to be found within his boundary, within 2000. Therefore, Shmuel says, look, it's irrelevant. Where underneath that tree, his Shvisa will be activated, whether on the close side, on the far side, because in either case, it's a legitimate Erev. It's within 2000. Now, since we don't know which side of the tree he has a Shvisa, we must calculate accordingly. He must make sure that he takes into account, perhaps on the far side, and measures Tum accordingly, perhaps on the near side, as we discussed yesterday. But in any case, we're speaking about a tree which is totally, entirely within his boundary. Therefore, there's no harm. But in this case, as Shmuel Hachamai Askinan, you know what we're speaking about? This price is referring to a case where part of the tree is out of his domain. His 2000 Amma, actually, it's 2004, because when a person establishes Shvisa, he has 4, which is his personal space. In addition to that, he has a Tum of 2000. So Shmuel says this tree here was at the perimeter of his Tum, right at the boundary. From where he's standing until the trunk of the tree was exactly 2004 Amos. That's the maximum. That's the end of his boundary. Therefore, since we're not sure where underneath that tree his Shvisa was implemented, was it on the narrow side, which is within his territory, or perhaps it was on the far side, which is beyond his territory? Therefore, it doesn't work. There is a distance between where he's standing, Vadi Kori, up to the trunk of the tree, how much? Trey Alfi, Vibra Gamidi, 2004 Amos. If that's the case, we have trouble. The Imokimus Lebi Dachisa. If we establish the Shvisa on the far side of the tree, Bidachisa de Ilan, come Le Levar Mitchuma. It's going to be situated outside of his boundary, and he can't activate, he can't acquire Shvisa there. It's too far. He can't reach it. It's beyond his territory. That's why the Braisa says, Isim Dal Damis. So if he ensures that he's going to be specific, he specifies which 4 Amis he'd like to have, meaning specifically within the boundary, within his territory, on the near side of the tree, Matzi Yazl. Then it works, he can walk there. But if he hasn't specified, Loi Matzi Yazl, he can't get there. Why? Because perhaps his Shvisa was out of his territory. It was on the far side of the tree, which is beyond 2004 Amos. This is a very specific case, and therefore it doesn't work, as opposed to the case in our Mishnah, where the entire tree was to be found within his boundary of 2004. So therefore, even in a worst case scenario, his Shvisa was applied to the far side of the tree. That's okay, because that's also within his territory. Continues the Gemara, Tanna Kamma Seyda Shmuel. Likewise, we have a Braisa in support of Shmuel, who maintains that when there's an uncertainty related to the activation of the Erev, where exactly it is, we say it is activated nonetheless. Now, although it's activated, he'll still have to take into consideration all possibilities and draw his territories and his boundaries accordingly. But in any case, it does work. The Braisa says, Tov Ir L'Shtei Ruchis. Person erroneously made a double Erev. He's in a city, and he made an Erev to Tzafon, he made an Erev to Dorim, thinking that it works. Kimedumu shum arvon l'shtei ruchos. He erroneously thought that a person could place 2 Erevs, one on either side of the city. Oish amal avadav, or perhaps he instructed his servants, Tzu v'irvali, go out and place an Erev Tchuman on my behalf. And they both listened. Echad Erev of Tzafon, one fellow placed an Erev on his behalf, on the Tzafon side of the city. The other servant placed an Erev on his behalf to the Durham side of the city. So now he has a double Erev, and there's a suffix. Which one is the legitimate one? Which one is the one that really works? Which one doesn't? So we say one of them works, we just don't know which one. So you must make sure that he keeps within the boundaries of both. Meaning, Mahalach Letzafin, Kiruv Ledarim. When he walks out of the city to Tzafin, he must make sure that he stays within the boundary of the Darim Erev, because perhaps that's the legitimate one. Uledarim, likewise, when he walks out to Darim, Kiruv Letzafin, he must make sure that he's within the territory of the Tzafin Erev. Perhaps that's the one that is his real Erev. So for instance, if he's in the city, and the Tzafin was placed 1,000 Amos away, which allows him to walk 2,000 Amos further, and 2,000 Amos back. And the Durham likewise was placed 1,000 Amos to the left of the city, which would allow him theoretically to walk another 2,000 that way, and 2,000 back. So when he walks out of the city, he must make sure that he takes into consideration both possibilities. So when he walks to Durham, he must make sure that he remains within the boundary of the Tzafin Erev, meaning he can't walk more than 1,000, which is the boundary of the Tzafin Erev. It's 2,000 Amos from the Tzafin Erev. When he walks out to Tzafin, he must do the same. He can only go up until 1,000, which is the 2,000 mark of the Erev that was placed at Darin. So one of them works, we just don't know which one. So he has to take into account all factors. The mitzvah of a satchum, let's say they really cause him trouble. They place him right in between both tchumen, right in the middle of the boundary. So we have a city, and the tzafan Erev was placed, not 1,000 away, but 2,000 away, to the right of the city. We have the Durham Erev that was placed 2,000 amma in the other direction. And he's right in the middle. He's right in between both boundaries. In this case, he's really stuck. He can't move anywhere. He can't take a step in any direction. Because, just in case, the Erev to Tzafan is a legitimate Erev, so he's exactly at the 2,000 point, he can't walk anywhere to the other direction. He can't take a step to Darin. Now, perhaps, it's not the Tzafan Erev that's working for him. Rather, it's the Darin Erev that's going to be activated. Now, since he's exactly at the 2,000 mark, is the edge of the boundary of that Erev, he can only walk towards it, but he can't walk the other way. He can't walk towards Tzafin. So he's stuck in the middle. He's in the middle of a tug of war. He can't walk to the right, nor to the left. He has to take into account both possibilities. The mitzvah of his atchum, if they place him right in the middle of the two boundaries, lo yozim kame, he can't move out of his spot. He must remain right there. That's the brice. What do we see from here? We have a right to Shmo. We have a uncertainty as to the exact location of a person's Erev. We don't say, well, it's unspecified, nothing works. Rather, we say, something does work. There's a suffix, which one? There's a Raya to Shmuel. It says, more lema to Avet Yuf to the Rav. Should perhaps this bride be a refutation on Rav, who says that an unspecified Erev is ineffective? It says, more Rav Tanu Upalag, Rav has the status of a Tana. He lived between the Tanam and Roim. And he has the ability, indeed, to disagree with a Braisa. So certainly this Braisa is a right to Shmuel, and Rav disagrees. Okay, time for a review of today's daf. We began discussing the concept of kol she'enei b'zeh chaseh, v'asach chaseh. When something can't be done incrementally, 1 plus 1, then you can't do it even if it's both at once. We have three halachas that put that formula into question. Number one, a person does an increased ma'aser rishon. We say, something's been activated. How come? If you can't do it incrementally, how can you do it all at once? Gemara says, this is unique because should he say, well, I want each kernel to be only partial ma'aser? That certainly works. So we accept what he said and we implement it in that manner. We take the large amount of ma'aser and we say, well, the appropriate amount is the only thing that becomes activated, and that gets distributed throughout the entire amount that he separated. We have the halacha that two animals came out as number 10. They're both Kaddish. How does that work? Torah says because by Ma'aseh Behemah, we do find this concept of Bezeh Chazeh. We can have one Kedusha, and then another Kedusha, then another Kedusha, when there's no Pasuk, that we have multiple Kedushas by Ma'aseh Behemah. Therefore, likewise, when they come out both together at once, that multiple Kedusha will be activated. What about doing Shechita on the Toida with 80 Chalitz? Chizki says, 40 work? How does that work? You can't do 40 and be Mekadosh another 40 later. So how can you be Mekadosh when you bring 80 at once? The answer is, really, all he had in mind was to be Mekadosh 40. He brought the extra ones to safeguard himself, to go ahead and Achrayus, to secure the 40 as a backup. And therefore, there's no contradiction whatsoever. He's only been Mekadosh 40 and no more. The Gemara concluded, in a case where the entire tree is only 7 amas wide, in which case we know with certainty regarding one amma in there, that's going to be his Makom Shvisa, that's enough. That's called Miktsas Beis HaNikar, part of his home, part of his residence has been specified and pointed out. Therefore, even Rav would agree that the Erev is Koine. Gemara concluded, in a case where the far side of the tree is beyond his reach, in this case, even Shmuel would agree, if he hadn't specified the exact location of his Makom Shvisa, you can't rely on the Shvisa because perhaps the location of his Shvisa is out of bounds. It's beyond his territory. And therefore, this fellow cannot walk on Shabbos depending on this type of Erev.